Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's kick off another week of the Lake Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. A mixture of Lake Show and Final Pitch over the course of this week. And I hope that everybody had an awesome weekend. I had a decent weekend. It was filled with a board retreat and a couple of graduations and just feeling upset. Upset with a lot of things that we are dealing with in this country. That, to me, is beyond unacceptable. The United States that we have always, I guess, kind of known it to be, the world that we've lived in for quite some time, we know that it's changing, and it's not for the better. We know that right now that we are dealing with some issues, and those issues start at the top. They start at the White House. They start with Donald Trump. And we're not making this country, quote, great again. We're not. There's so many things that just really bother me, get under my skin. And we're going to start with a couple of those things here at the top of the show. When we think about doing a radio show, and I don't care what show it is, Lake Show, the Chad Hartman Show, Drive Time with DeRussia, Jordana Adam, the morning news of Vanita Sarkar. When you look at shows, specifically those that have strong opinions, you will give your take, you will give your opinion about something, and there will be people that will like what you have to say. There will be people that will hate what you have to say. There will be people that will disagree, but respect that you have a difference of opinion. We get that. But we live in the United States of America. This is not Russia. This is not other places where they have state-run media. And they're doing and saying specific things and suppressing people's opinions and takes. To see that ABC News has suspended Terry Moran for posting that Stephen Miller is a hater, a world-class hater. Like, what are we doing? Like, legitimately, where do we live? Where do we say that we live? What are the things that we say we have the freedom to do? This is scary. Not just because something that you can just look at and you can just disagree with somebody saying something, but to take it to the level of calling out a company, bullying a company, saying to somebody like ABC News that they need to deal with said individual is unacceptable. Like, it really is. If being called a hater, and look, I'm sure I'm called a hater every day. Oh, you MAGA hater, you Trump hater, you whatever. Certain athletes, oh, you're just a hater. That's fine. You don't have to agree with my take. I don't have to love every athlete that I cover. I don't have to love every politician that has a take. But the reality is that when you are talking about something so small as to somebody being critical of a person on a social media app that you go there and you say that you're going to suspend it? And listen, I'm not sitting here saying that when you utilize social media or when you say certain things, that there will never, ever be consequences for things that you say, okay? When you make threats to people, okay? When you dox people to a certain degree and out them. I mean, there's a lot of things where you look and you say, that's crossed the line. The tweet that has since been deleted is a nothing burger. It's nothing. And to allow Terry to be censored in this way, to first off, because when you say suspend him and you're suspending him for, I don't know what the amount of time is, how many days or whatever, but you're essentially censoring that person too. Because when they show up back to the job, how do they proceed moving forward? I think is wrong. It's not the way to conduct business. And I think that ABC looks horrible in this. I just don't understand what they are thinking, what they are doing. But this falls in line with what news organizations are doing now. In media and news, it's a very scary place to be. It really is. And this is not just an ABC thing. CBS, they bended a knee.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen MSNBC, they bended a knee. We've seen CNN have the issue where Acosta was let go.
Yes.
Because he was speaking way too much truth. What are we doing? Like, this is a very scary reality in the United States of America.
This is one part of the absolute control that Donald Trump wants. And this is what he is attempting to do. And this is what we knew what was going to happen. To me, it's happening a lot faster than I thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're upset about an edited video that you're claiming emotional distress with 60 Minutes over something, things get edited all the time. Whether or not you want to think that was manipulated against you or something that you say is edited for you, like all of that is, it's incredibly beneath the, or should be beneath the office of the United States of America's, you know, commander. But when you're talking about Terry Moran and you look at the interview that he did with Donald Trump, he wasn't confrontational. He wasn't raising his voice. He did push back in the sense that he was calling a spade a spade. And the Trump administration just does not like anybody that will. I mean, when Trump himself says, can't you just say it's true? Let's just say it's true and move on, or say I'm right and move on. That is what the whole crux is. Everything has got to be in his image. And this wasn't even confrontational, but anything that is not in full agreement, Henry, in my opinion, he perceives as somehow adversarial if you are not 100% lockstep with what he wants to present.
651-461-9226. If you'd like to react, if you'd like to make a comment, you can call into the show, you can text into the show, because in the United States of America, nobody here is sitting around looking at Donald Trump as though he's some sort of king. But that's how he envisions himself. And that is how he is trying to operate in 2025, and we're not here for it. Your calls, your text. And another thing about the Trump administration from over the weekend that bugs the heck out of me, we get to that next year on The Lake Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the text line weighing in, you can as well, 651-461-9226. From the 320, get over it, guys. Trump won the election. He's doing exactly what he campaigned on and promised to you and do, even though you may not like it. The reality is, though, Texter, I'm not going to get over anything if I don't want to. I live in the United States of America. We have a constitution. I don't live in Russia. We have rights and can speak out. That's the reality of where we live. We have rights. This is not a somebody's going to do whatever the hell they want to do to me just because. That's not how the world works. That's not how things work in this country. That's an unacceptable way to view politics. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and to say, you know, he's not doing exactly what he campaigned to do. He said he was going to crack down on criminals and, you know, law and order, right? Every day except for January 6th, apparently. But he's going to crack down on that. But yet, these ICE agents and this law enforcement that came in with these raids are trying to get access to two elementary schools in Los Angeles. The school district superintendent told them they were not allowed. What laws have 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds broken that you feel the need to go into these schools? Is that what you voted for? This is what you voted for, to terrorize children because their parents might be illegal? Well, I'll be damned if they're going to be in my country, America. It's like you're doing something that you said you were going to do, but you've got an asterisk, and it's all under this umbrella. What we're seeing is a president pick a fight with its citizens, because this entire thing in Los Angeles is, my opinion, it is manufactured by
this administration. Absolutely.
This was not something external that, you know what, we have to quell this. No, this was something that the Trump administration went in.
He's trying to pick a fight.
And he's escalating this to get it confrontational so you can declare martial law. Then we're off and running.
No question.
We see it. We see it happening.
No question about it. This text from Pat. Henry, if you lose freedom and truthfulness of the press, all is lost. Seems it is slipping away right in front of our eyes. So very scary and sickening. I am very afraid. Look, I think that, Pat, we should all be concerned. There's no doubt about it. Everybody should be concerned about what the heck is happening, because it's not good. And let me be clear about this. I think that there are a bunch of people that voted exactly for this. They voted exactly for this. And I know that the woman in Florida came out, the politician that kind of heads up the, was it Latinos for Trump, and said this is not, well, what did you think was going to happen? Like, some of this, he did say that he was going to run and do this. And so, I think that some people were just flat out ignorant, and they're like, well, he's not going to actually do that. Well, why are you being so dumb?
Now that your face
is being eaten, now you believe?
Well, he's going to do it, but he's not going to take advantage or abuse the power. Donald Trump has always been abuse of power. Everywhere he's been, everything he's done has been abuse of power. It's the overreach is part of the plan. The cruelty is the point. And that's you might have said, well, yeah, this is what he's said he was going to do. Yes. But there's overreach that I think people are now just finding out. It's like, well, what are we supposed to do now? We're already in this situation.
You know, and the interesting thing, though, is that I get it, like in terms of like the borders and stuff like that and immigration, that we got issues. I don't even nowadays even like utilizing the term illegal alien. I just don't like. The when you think about this country, everybody's an immigrant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everyone here is an immigrant.
Except for indigenous people.
Unless you're an indigenous person, you're a Native American, We're all immigrants. So I don't even like using that terminology because it just kind of makes me feel sleazy a little bit.
It's disingenuous to say that.
Yeah. No. But that's the thing. People that look at themselves as though like this is their land, right? Like they've been here the entire time. Those people bother me till no end. Till no end. Let's take a phone call from Nick in Roseville. What's up, Nick?
Hi, Henry. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I disagree with everything Donald Trump is doing. I think he's a horrible man, and I think he's basically trying to basically make us fed for ourselves. It's all about survival of the fittest. And let me tell you something, and I hope they're listening. My aunt and uncle are heavy Trump supporters. They think that what he's doing is wonderful, and they're brainwashed. What I'm getting at with that is, I agree with you and Chris. What has the 4, 5, and 6-year-old done to basically deserve to be sent out of the country? It's Trump's fear, if you like, of immigrants and his hatred of immigrants, and there's rumor that he's getting dementia.
Well, it's what type of immigrant? If you're white and from South Africa, he's in love with you. Or if you're going to pay for the, what was it, the gold card or whatever it is?
I don't know
how many millions of dollars. Oh, he will be in love with you. Like, all of this stuff is just beyond unacceptable.
It's about money and power.
All right, thanks for the phone call from Nick in Roseville. I don't disagree with
you. If you had the skin tone of a Saudi Arabian man without the money and the prestige, Donald Trump would look at you and say, you're illegal, you're a criminal. We're going to have to deport you.
This one's an interesting text because we got some that are flying in here. This one I'm going to get to here, it says from the 612, the big problem with people who voted for Trump but are upset is that they wanted everything cut and slashed and deported and tariffed until they found out it affected them. I think that part, and I agree with the texter to a certain degree, but that part has always bugged me. And let me put it in this way. You know, the people that bug me are the people that will, and let's go back months. Let's go back before the election. Let's go back to the original tariff conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The person that will look educated people in the face, the people that will say that we're not paying or covering the cost of the tariff, that person to me is just, I have a problem with them because there are just certain basic things fundamentally that you know aren't true, but you continue to spin and sell the lie. Like, how can you be in that camp? That makes no sense to me.
It's not about what you believe with your eyes. It's about what you're being told. And this has been a consistent pattern with him. Absolutely. It's not about, hey, this is what's happening. Well, eggs are down 400%. Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to get rich as hell making omelets and I can retire making, you know, making my scrambled eggs in the morning. Like, eggs are not down 400%. There are so many things out there that can be fact checked to say this isn't true. Tariffs are not paid by the deporting country. Like, there are so many things that are out there. But again, it's the what he is doing is right. I believe him. I trust in him. Ride or die, this is my guy.
People that are trying to make sense of the foolishness that's taking place, the Doge that spent a lot of money, right?
Part of the government was Doge anyway.
And they haven't found any fraud. Right, like they're just out there.
Well, they're not looking for fraud. They're looking for waste, fraud, and abuse.
Yeah,
all three of it.
And there's been no slashes. To throw all of that out there and to think that you were actually somebody that bought that. Oh my gosh.
And still do.
To look at all of this stuff and to try to rationalize it and say it's okay. I'm sorry. I fundamentally have a problem with people like that. I just it makes no sense.
Well,
to me.
At the end of the day. You can, what do they say? You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can lay everything out in front of people, but if they have it in their mind that you are lying and you are awful and you are the devil, like, I mean, we, you know, you get it all the time. You're like, well, I don't know what more I can do to try and have a conversation to help get outside that bubble, because it takes more than just listening to somebody in sound bites to really get a feel for this.
I got a quick question for you, because everybody knows.
Look at all your news sources.
That I'm a bald-headed black guy. How many times can I tell you that I'm a white man with an afro, and you'll believe me?
Zero?
Oh, coming up next, we will turn.
You haven't changed in years, Henry.
Coming up next, we'll turn our attention to the Minnesota Twins, who they lost a series against Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto Raptors. If they were playing, that'd be something. The Toronto Blue Jays. But we have now encountered another injury. We'll talk to Bobby Nightingale Jr. We'll do that next year for the Minnesota Star Tribune on The Lake Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, our first guest, courtesy of the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, he's great at covering the Minnesota Twins. That will be one Bobby Nightingale Jr. joining us here on The Lake Show. As always, very appreciative of your time, sir. How you been?
Doing well. How have you been?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. I'm doing a little bit better than maybe the health of the Twins pitching staff at this moment. Well, let's start with the obvious. Pablo Lopez last week in Sacramento gets injured. He is out with the last strain for the next, 8 to 12 weeks. Coming out of that game, and I don't want to say definitively that they looked like they were bummed or down or they were deflated, you know, hearing the news, but it just kind of seemed like we played that way, a little bit like there was some carryover, knowing that Pablo was going to be unavailable for the foreseeable future. How did you kind of see everything transpire at the end of last week?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly disappointment. I mean, he's the ace of the staff. I mean, obviously Joe Ryan and Bailey Ober have put up numbers really well this season, but Pablo Lopez has been the opening day starter for 3 years running now. Basically since Sonny Gray was a part of the Twins rotation, he's kind of taken that mantle as kind of the leader of the staff. So when you see him go down, and guys in the clubhouse talk about just kind of how much he does to prepare himself, whether it's playing, you know, taking hours to play catch every day, and how much he takes care of his body, that it's almost kind of like a shock to the system. Like, oh, wow, he went down with an injury, kind of puts everyone else at risk, just knowing how much he does kind of preventative work to keep his body healthy. So, you know, disappointing that way. And it's a long-term injury. I mean, he's out, 2 to 3 months. He won't be back until August at the earliest, maybe September. So, there's obviously disappointment in that sense, where it's just like, oh, we just lost a huge member of the team for that long, which, Royce Lewis had the same vibe when he got hurt in spring training, and you knew that was going to be a while. Kind of the same vibe with this one.
All right, talk to me about what is the injury with Zebby Matthews. Like, he's on the injured list now. Was it 15-day injured list? What is his specific injury?
Yeah, he has a subscap strain, so it's like a front muscle in the shoulder. He shut down from throwing for at least 2 weeks, so you're looking at basically probably, they never gave a timeline, but 1 to 2 months. So you're looking at maybe best case scenario, he's back before the All-Star break, which is the middle of July. If not, maybe a little bit after that. But unfortunate. I mean, it's his first time he's ever been on the injured list since he got drafted, major leagues or minor leagues. So one of those things he thought he could pitch through, kind of was dealing with some shoulder discomfort and had good results. I mean, he pitched well in Seattle, pitched well, was solid in Sacramento. And then, you know, following the start in Sacramento, he started throwing a little bit more, and they kind of realized, okay, this is a little bit more serious than we thought it was. And, yeah, he's going to be shut down for a little bit. So no throwing for at least 2 weeks, and then kind of get reevaluated and see where he's at.
All right. So for the record, you're saying that the Zebby stuff was not just out of the Sacramento start, but maybe there was something a little bit lingering from other starts. The reason why I asked that specifically is because I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here, but the fact that Pablo and then Zebby and then we're talking about Sacramento and then people are talking about the mound setup and all that stuff, it just kind of makes me curious.
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously frustration with just kind of the dirt in Sacramento. Like Carlos Correa had some back tightness that came out of how hard it was in the infield dirt kind of rotating. Felt like he injured his back a little bit that way. So I think that's real, but Zebby said he was dealing with it since Tampa Bay, a bullpen session out there. He didn't pitch in Tampa, but threw a bullpen there, and he said that's kind of when he first started feeling it. And then, you know, guys try to pitch through things, and it was one of those, didn't think it was that serious, and then ended up being a little bit more serious than what he thought it was.
Yeah, we're talking to Bobby Nightingale Jr. from the Minnesota Star Tribune, joining us here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO, clearly beat writer, covers the Minnesota Twins for the Strib. You know, the Twins, even though they've had, you know, a couple of losing streaks, and when we're talking about losing streaks, I'm talking about very small ones. You look at the three games that they lost before winning yesterday. They've been playing relatively good baseball, though, the last, you know, a little bit over a month. But with all that being said, when you look at the division, the team to beat right now was Detroit. Detroit, in my opinion, is a lot better than what I envisioned and expected. Is Detroit every bit as good as what you thought they would be?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're better than what I thought they would be. I mean, you look at kind of guys like Javier Baez coming into the season, it was kind of like, where does he actually fit? Could they, you know, if he didn't have so much money in his contract, I wouldn't have been shocked if he would have been designated for assignment by now. They put him in center field, and all of a sudden he's a great center fielder who can hit again. Spencer Torkelson, their first baseman, was kind of like the Jose Miranda, where it was like, okay, he's shown promise in the past, but hasn't put it all together. What's he going to actually be? And he's actually been really good at first base this year. So I feel like they've had a lot of guys, unexpected contributors. They've had their stars step up for sure. Riley Green's good. Kerry Carpenter's hitting. Tarek Skubal's probably the best pitcher in the American League. But they've had a lot of guys that, you know, they didn't know if they could count on entering the season. And so far they've been off to a great start. And, you know, best record in baseball. I didn't see that coming for them. I thought they had such a good finish last year, but I still thought, you know, that – with such a young team, sometimes it takes time for it to gel, but they kind of picked up where they left off last year.
You know, one of the things that I said last week, we were doing the show from Inbound Brewing just a couple of blocks away from Target Field on Friday, and then I came down to Target Field for the game, is that when I look at coming out of the Pablo Lopez situation in the news that he's going to be out, I would love to see the Twins – go out and get another arm. And I'm not saying that it's got to be some top-end arm. We know that we're not going to break the bank with anything. And I'm not even saying that, you know, we have some great players in the minors, and I'm not saying that we don't, to try to ship out to get an arm. But I think that we need a solid veteran to just make sure that we continue to have that depth there in our pitching staff and our rotation. And this is even before the news came out about Zebby. Where are you at with pitching for the Twins? Because I love Bailey, I love Joe Ryan, Chris Paddock has been a revelation here over the course of the last month, but I feel like, you know, I would like to see them make a move, and it's funny because your colleague and my friend Lavelli Neal III, he said that he would like to see them go get a bat. I would rather more so them go find an arm. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I just think it's so hard to find pitching these days. I mean, every contending team needs starting pitching. You look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, they're down 14 pitchers right now, including like three or four starters. And so it's like every team's kind of dealing with the same situation. I actually think the Twins are in an okay spot. I mean, obviously last year's collapse is what it is. I mean, they had a terrible finish to the year. But getting David Festa that experience, you know, that has to pay off this summer. That's what it was kind of for. Same as Richardson kind of hit a wall at the end of last year. I know he was demoted recently for performance reason. He's had a bad start this year. But that's what last year was for, was getting those guys that experience. You know, that was out of necessity, but this is where they have to step up. So I it would be great for them to say you could add a starting pitcher. I just don't really think there's anyone out there. I mean, you look at the teams that are obvious sellers at this point, just with the expanded playoffs, a lot of teams feel like they have a chance, even if they're losing. But like the Rockies, there's no impact starters there. The Marlins, Sandy Alcantara is kind of the big name, but he has an ADRA. So, there's not a ton of names out there that you go, okay, this guy would make a difference. Is he better than what David Fester, what Richardson can give you? I'm not sure there's a ton of guys out there that are out there for the taking.
Yeah, I liked Fester, and I liked Wood Richardson, but there's a certain level of, I guess I'll put it this way. I'm not confident in their arms right now. Like I think that they still have a ways to go in terms of learning. Now, clearly, learning on the job is going to help you. But in terms of ultimately having that confidence that they can keep you in the race, that's the part that I'm a little bit squeamish about.
Yeah, I mean, I think Fester, he obviously had a bad start in Sacramento, gave up 8 runs. But if you're going to, talk about the mound and how bad it was, I do kind of put an asterisk next to that one. Before that, I think he only gave up 1 or 2 earned runs in his starts before that. I really think the upside's there. I really think David Fester could take a huge leap and could be a guy they count on. Obviously, Joe Ryan, Bailey Obert, Chris Paddock are going to be the guys you lean on more innings-wise. But I do think the impact's there. Same as Richardson kind of has to – if he does what he did last year – when they really needed him. I mean, he really stepped up. His ERA was below 4 for most of the season before he hit that wall in September. So I'm not as – there's obvious concern. I mean, if any of those guys go down, you don't really have proven depth behind them. That's where you'd love to have a veteran kind of waiting in the wings. But I don't see it as super dire. Just compared when you look at 10 of the other teams around the league, you look at like the Guardians, for instance. You know, they lost one of their – Ben Lively, their opening day starter, had Tommy John, and then Shane Bieber had a setback on his rehab assignment. So they're scrambling for pitching as well. So I just think it's one of those pitching injuries are just so common around the league that every team's dealing with it.
Yeah. Couple of final questions for Bobby Nightingale Jr. here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. I said going into the season that for the Twins to take that next step, to get back to possibly contend for the division, that they, A, needed Bailey Ober to not regress. He has not done that. And then the other thing was between Matt Wallner and Trevor Larnach, somebody was going to need to take a step forward and improve. I feel like Trevor Larnach is absolutely doing that. I'm not saying that Matt Wallner's not, but Matt Wallner was out for so many games, so we're still trying to see him kind of find his way. But Larnach is playing to the level that I was hoping that he would. And I'm not saying that this is his ceiling, but I believe that that he's on the right path to be the player that the Twins have wanted him to be when they got him. What do you make of Trevor Larnach's season to this specific point?
Yeah, I feel like he's done a nice job. He's kind of gone under the radar. Just, Byron Buxton's had a great start to the season. Wallner probably has a little bit more power than him, but he's done a nice job top half of the lineup. He's really cut down in the strikeouts from the last couple years. Kind of started last year where you kind of really saw the improvements. And he's kind of putting it together for a full season this year. Last year, he was kind of more came up from the minor leagues, and you weren't quite ready to know what you have with him. But now with Max Kepler gone, you really needed him to kind of step into that role where he's a regular guy, whether it's DH or a corner outfield, and step up. And I feel like he's done that. I mean, with Matt Wallner out, they were really light on left-handed bats. They really didn't have many guys that you felt great about against right-handed pitching. And I felt like he did his part in making sure they kind of survived that stretch. Now with Wallner back, Wallner's been really good in his career against right-handed pitching. I do think that balances the lineup a little bit more where just having Wallner and Larnach both in the lineup together, you should see them take at least a little bit. The ceiling should be up higher a little bit.
Hey, really quickly, what is the situation with Woods Richardson? He's back, right?
Yeah, he'll start tomorrow.
So he is going to start tomorrow. Okay, I just was curious because I didn't see anything definitive that he was going to be the starter, but I was assuming as much because Festa's going to go Wednesday and then over into Paddock as we go from Texas into the Houston series. So Woods Richardson is going to be the starter tomorrow. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, they haven't announced it yet, but he got scratched from St. Paul on Sunday, so all signs point to that.
Got you. Hey, Bobby, man, I appreciate the time as always.
Of course, anytime.
All right, take care. That's Bobby Nightingale Jr. joining us here on the Lake Show. From the Minnesota Star Tribune. Love his analysis, and I love his work. All right, so we will take a break because there's something I want to talk about with Chris because I think that me and Chris are on the same page about the Twins and possibly what we'd like to see them get. Because, look, I love my guy Lavelle, but a bat? I'm not sure about that. We get to it next. So, Chris, when you hear about what the Twins need, do you think bat? That's not what I think of. I was a little bit surprised at Lavelle. I haven't talked to Lavelle since he put that out there. But that's not – I don't think that that's necessarily a need, at least in my opinion.
No, I'm with you, Henry. And, I mean, I respect Lavelle. Lavelle's a smart dude.
He forgot more baseball than I'll ever know.
Yeah, same here. But I do think that, you know, going out and getting a pitcher with the Pablo injury, to me, you know, when we talked on Friday night, I still was of the belief that I wanted to see what Travis Adams was going to do. And, you know, you demote him, then probably bring him back up. I mean, I understand it's a numbers and a dollars and cents game. But when Zebby goes down with the lat strain as well, and I'm glad you asked Bobby about it, because I was like, maybe there's not a connection, but I mean, it seems pretty eerie. But you got two starters down. You have to, if you're going to make a move, you got to find an arm. And you might just be able to just get a guy, but you need somebody who's going to eat a few innings and plug a hole. You know what I mean? And he mentioned my guy, Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins. Yeah, the ERA is 8, but
he's like, got a lot of talent.
But that's exactly it. The upside is there. Would you rather take a shot on somebody like that early? Because there are teams that are going to be like, hey, we play ourselves into contention with that third wild card. Not as many teams are going to be sellers. So especially when you've got two guys that you know are going to be out, go out and look at a starting pitcher. That's my opinion. That's why I feel they need to go bats. I'm not worried about a corner left-handed bat. I'm not worried about any of that. I mean, Cody Clemens is not going to...
But when we talk about a bat, like, what type of bat do you need?
I mean, do you need a corner infielder that's going to be able to hit left-handed? I mean, if that's the case, then I think that's kind of where you're looking at, you know. Yeah, Cody Clemens is a middle second baseman outfielder. I'm sure Cody could play some first base. But you've got your left-handers, you know, you've got Willie Castro, you've got Brooks Lee, you've got Larnick, you've got Wallner. I mean, you can stay with a right-handed hitting Ty France at first base. I don't think that's necessarily a need right now. You much more of a sense of urgency to get a guy that you can plug in as your fourth or fifth starter, and then now you've got two guys that have to fill two spots instead of three guys that have to fill one spot.
Yeah, I just, and I'm not anti adding a bat, but if you say do you need a bat over another arm, I would say absolutely not. I just don't, like, I've got questions. And look, I see what Bobby's saying. And first off, you got to identify, is there anybody available that you can go grab? That's the number one thing. And Bobby's spot on with that. I'm not sitting here trying to say it's easy to say that, yes, you go out and get this arm, you can get it at a reasonable cost and price, and you can bring them into this rotation in the middle or back in, and you'll be just fine. I'm not sitting here saying that that's an easy thing to do, to even identify that. My point, though, is we have seen moments and times when this organization did go out to try to acquire guys. They went and made the move with Paddock. They made the move with
Tyler Malley.
Yes. So they have tried to do it. So for all these people that say, yeah, well, no, they won't. What do you mean they won't?
It's not.
They tried to do it before. Now, I'm not saying it's worked out perfectly, but they've done it.
Yeah, they have. And that's kind of, you know, that's the issue. I think if you look at two things I think actually work in the Twins' favor, and this isn't me drinking the Kool-Aid. Number one, I think you look at the collapse last year, and that was a missed opportunity because the fans really, really pissed off, and rightfully so, because you were in a really good spot for a playoff spot, and you didn't do anything. So I think that you learn from last year because you are not quite in that same situation, but you are in the playoff mix thanks to that 13-game winning streak. And then, to me, Henry, I just feel like if we're looking at the timeline of the potential sell of the team, I know that it fell through with Justin Ishiba, I believe was the name. If this
Ishbia.
Thing... Ishbia. Either way, he bought the
either
White
way,
Sox.
Either way.
Either way.
And his brother owns the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been great for us. But if you're looking at it, you think about how much more you could probably push up if you are in the playoffs, if this team is in the playoffs because of a move that you made to bolster an area of weakness. I feel like a move could paint the Poleads in a better light because you're selling when the team could potentially make a playoff run. Not saying it's like the Wolves, but...
Well, right now you're in the wild card. Like you're the...
You're in the thick of the... You're in the hunt.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's what you want. And I know there's that third wild card spot, but you want to be in the mix. You want to be at the top of that board. Of course you're chasing Detroit, but you're 7 games back. I mean, let's just be realistic. Detroit is catchable. They are. But you got to play about 650 baseball. Can you play 650 baseball to catch Detroit? Maybe you can. But I just feel like as this summer goes along, and if this team is still in contention, which I expect it to at least be in the hunt, I just don't know why you couldn't go out and say, man, this would really help the resale price if they are going to make a playoff push. Guess what? You want this team? It's a playoff team. Look at this. Look at this building. Look at this atmosphere. Look at this team. Man, this is a team you can make some money off of. If I'm trying to put on my business hat, that's the pitch that I would make, but you got to make a move to get there.
All right, I got the response from Lavelle. He says they need a run producer at least. They'll be fine on the mound, if anything, at a reliever. But this offense needs help, and I'm not disagreeing with any of that.
No, says, I don't disagree.
He says, I pointed out DH, corner, infield are options unless mm-hmm. Royce gets his bleep together. So we'll
okay. See.
It makes sense.
It does.
It makes all the sense in the world. But I think that we, right now, there's a belief in Festa and Woods Richardson that a lot of people have in them. And I'm not knocking those guys, but I don't have the confidence in that right now. I just don't.
Like you said, sample size. And I mean, do you want to go the way of, you know, when in football, if your defense is bad, you just want to load up your offense and outscore people? Like, maybe that's it.
Coming up next, Augsburg men's and women's golf coach Eric Rowland, he has qualified for the U.S. Senior Open. We chat with him next year on The Lake Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.